Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
So good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Foxhole on the solemnity of the birthday of John the Baptist. My name is Jason Searle, and I'm chairman of Capon's Men, a men's faith formation ministry whose mission is to accompany one another on our faith journey and to respond to the invitation of the Lord in our daily lives. We follow the example of an extraordinary parish priest from Kansas who did the same in his simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and in the prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Unsan, his response to stay with and accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their capture resulted in him becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in the United States Army history. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, their families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Will Peterson, who joins us from a very early morning in San Diego, where he's been teaching at Catholic schools since 2017, and prior to this, he taught in an under-resourced Catholic school in Memphis. Will graduated from the University of Notre Dame, go Irish, and is the founder of Modern Catholic Pilgrim. I connected with Will after reading a gospel reflection that Will shared with the Notre Dame community earlier this spring, and I was intrigued by his work. A great deal of our focus here at Capon's Men has been on the work of pilgrimage and what we call a pilgrim's disposition. Will's going to talk about his vision for Modern Catholic Pilgrim and the concept of hospitality, radical hospitality, that he experienced while leading a pilgrim lifestyle. Before I turn it over to Joe and Will, I want to remind you that you can all find all our resources at capensmen.com and watch for free all of the faith formation series that we have at form.org. And please also share our podcast with your friends. You can find them on iTunes and Spotify and other podcast formats. We really appreciate you helping us out to share the message of Father Capon. And if you have the time and you're enjoying the podcast, give us a like and write a review. Joe will lead us with prayer. And with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Joe and Will. So good morning, and thanks for accompanying us to the Foxhole.
Thank you very much, Jason, and good morning, friends. It is a beautiful day here on the coast of North Carolina. I got up early, snuck out as my family slept. We're on a little vacation, so have a beautiful view of the ocean. And I think it's fitting in these moments to just take a second and just be still in the chaos of this world we live in. So in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I just would invite everyone to, clearly if you're not driving, but if you're in a position where you can maybe close your eyes and just be still with the Lord for a second, today's going to be beautiful. We've got a lot of great things to share with you. But let's take a second and let the Lord make some space, create a little space in our hearts for Him to work. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, friends, again, good morning. It's great to be with you. It's exciting today. We have a great guest. Jason did an incredible job introducing him, and I'm going to jump right in with some questions for Will. And Will is on the West Coast, so I was feeling kind of like I'd made a major sacrifice getting up early, but I think he wins. I think he's been up since like 4 o'clock in the morning where he is. But Will, the podcast really exists to bring together men to talk about accompaniment and Father Capon, and just kind of coming alongside each other. So I'd like to start with just asking you to give us a quick couple sentences, even definition. When you think of the word accompaniment, what comes to mind? What stirs up in you? How would you describe accompaniment?
Well, I think about walking with, right? I guess with the pilgrimage stuff, everything I do for accompaniment, for me, I'm envisioning, you know, walking with someone and all of that entails, especially on pilgrimage through highs and lows and the feet hurting and talking through faith. But I would say walking with is when I think of accompaniment.
No, and that's what a lot of us feel. And I was thinking about it today because I, to tell you the truth, Will, I went to your website quite a few times after Jason introduced me to you virtually. And the website is fantastic, by the way.
I appreciate the
blogs and all the good stuff you have there. But one thing particularly interests me is why you went toward pilgrimage. Like for a young man, a lot of young adult stuff on the website. But if you don't mind sharing with the audience, one, what it is that you discovered in pilgrimage. And, you know, as I've told you before, I'm a big fan of Merton and a big fan of Nouwen, who are kind of all over your website. So share with us a little bit about how you discovered pilgrimage and maybe how it's affected you.
Sure, be happy to. Well, Merton wrote in a great essay on pilgrimage that man instinctually is a wanderer and a wayfarer, and it is second nature for him to go on pilgrimage in search of a privileged and holy place, a center and source of indefectible life. And I only read that after I had first gone on pilgrimage, and I was like, yes, that is it. But I wasn't really aware of it really as a practice, you know, a contemporary practice. And then I was abroad through the University of Notre Dame in the spring of 2013, and I had the opportunity to go on a pilgrimage for the Triduum in Rome through the university. So they had our campus minister there. They had a professor who had gotten his PhD in Rome in theology. And so we were there Holy Thursday through Easter Sunday, and we were just, you know, wall to wall, incredible spiritual event. But that Easter Sunday morning, I woke up and put on my suit to go down to the Vatican for Easter morning mass. It was Pope Francis's first Easter. And when I stepped into the streets of Rome, I mean, the energy I had, it was like electricity is coming out of my fingertips. And it was beyond anything I'd ever experienced before. And I just said to him, I had to stop, and I had a great awareness. This is the Holy Spirit, and this is so far beyond anything that could be my own. And it was the first time I'd ever really been concretely aware of that presence of the Spirit. And so it just immediately struck me, like, this occurred on pilgrimage. So that, it ingrained itself in me and kind of just remained with me as I finished out my time as an undergrad and then took part in Notre Dame's ACE teaching program down in Memphis. And so I think I come back to Merton. Like, I'd always been a wanderer, and I'd always been kind of on this search and, you know, looking for these privileged and holy places, but I hadn't really known it. And so after my time teaching, I was able to discern maybe this was sort of where I was being called to involve myself in pilgrimage here in the United States. And the effect has been tremendous, really, in just putting me in contact with good people. Like right now, what we're doing right now, I wouldn't be doing if I hadn't really gone into this pilgrimage mindset, into this work. And I think of, as I was reflecting on this question, I was thinking about, I was at a mass here in town a couple months back, and I had gone on pilgrimage back in March of 2019 with an Augustinian friar, and he was in the process of becoming ordained a deacon and then being ordained a priest. And he was a deacon at this point a couple months ago, and I had gone to hear him preach at his parish. And we're standing toward the back of the church before Mass. I'm with him, and he shares, you know, oh, this is Will. We went on pilgrimage together. And another Augustinian says, oh, my father went on pilgrimage with you. And another woman who's back there who's going to be a lector says, my son went on pilgrimage with you. And just to see them brighten up and the pride they kind of took in that, I said, wow, like, this is really – not only am I being affected at this point, like, clearly good work is happening, and it just felt like such a blessing and really humbled me, but it helped me to know kind of where we're doing the Lord's work at this point.
Yeah, now, well, you're aware, as you've mentioned early on in the, we were speaking this morning even, that we did a series on pilgrimage, and it had a great effect on me. I mean, it is... even my own spiritual journey has just been greatly affected by it. And I think one of the things we spent a lot of time talking about was this disposition of the pilgrim. You know, we talked about invitation and simplicity and accompaniment, which we talk a lot about on this podcast. But you have put a huge emphasis on hospitality, even as Jason in your introduction said, radical hospitality. Can you just break open kind of how that fits into the pilgrimage process and how you even maybe came up with the concept?
Sure. I came back from that time abroad and really started diving more deeply into the faith and got engaged with St. Francis and got led into kind of Merton and Dorothy Day and some ideas about the church and some ideas about kind of what the church has been from the very beginning. And I knew pilgrimage was an ancient tradition within the church, but then to see that hospitality has been at the center of it since the beginning. You read in the Acts of the Apostles, right? They all came together and shared everything they had. And I soon realized something, and it really struck me, is that hospitality has become a warped term in our day and age. And now it means a chocolate on your pillow in the hotel, or a nice wine list at a restaurant, or a cozy dinner with your immediate family and friends. But you mentioned Nouwen at the beginning of this. Henry Nouwen has a great line in his work, The Three Movements of the Spiritual Life, where he says, if there's a biblical concept worth restoring to its original and evocative potential, it is the concept of hospitality. And what he means there is that removing of hostility and that entering of like the hospice, kind of that care for the other. And so I was looking at the American Catholic Church and kind of what it does and whether or not this hospitality can exist. And through a couple of great experiences of my own, including just taking a train out to Rugby, North Dakota over spring break, my college senior year, knocking on the door of the rectory there and asking the priest if I could stay for a couple of days. And he said, sure. And that was sort of like a proto-pilgrimage. But we find that people really are striving for these connections. And we encourage a biblical hospitality, just kind of opening of the home. So what we do is we put together these walk pilgrimages here in the United States. And if it's a multi-day pilgrimage, we reach out to local parishes to see if the laity from those parishes will open their homes to the pilgrims for a night, you know, and a meal. If they can shower, great. And then, shoot, crash on the floor, you know, on a sofa, bed, what have you, before the pilgrims then set off the next day for the rest of their journey. And it has been just tremendous to see the response. And I go back to Nouwen again, who said that to learn how to give hospitality, it may be that you first have to receive it. And so we've done a lot of focus, especially with the multi-day pilgrimages, on young adult Catholics. But we kind of will do a lot of other broader stuff as well. But there's a great aspect of this where we're really hoping that young adult Catholics are going to receive this tremendous trust and opening of homes, and again, real kind of biblical hospitality while on pilgrimage, and then take on that disposition, as you say, going forward in their own lives. And if we can get our Catholic Church, you know, to do that, and it's a great opportunity for lay people to engage. And there's a line, I can never remember the theologian who said it. It was either Rosemary Houghton or Christine Poole, who said that hospitality is the point where our theology and our practical life come together. And so it's a great way of living out what it means to be Christian or to be Catholic. And so typically we have young adult Catholics walking, and then usually kind of middle-aged to next generation up hosts. And it's a great opportunity for an intergenerational dialogue, for, you know, breaking bread and sharing that time together. So it's heartening to the young adults because they see someone who's living the faith and Catholic in all senses of the term, and not just because they go to Mass, but because they're willing to open their homes to people and treat people as children of God. And then we get people who are oftentimes reading a lot about how young adults are leaving the church and aren't involved. And then all of a sudden you get this 25-year-old, you know, young man or young woman in your home who's in the midst of a 3-day, 50-mile pilgrimage and is totally on fire for the faith, and that gives you a little jolt. And it's been great, too, because we're not asking priests to open up the rectory or the parish hall and clean up after us because they already got enough going on. And so we're really trying to engage the lay Catholics because it's there. People want to do stuff like this, but they don't really know how to, and they haven't really been asked. So it's become core to what we do. and we see the fruits of it. For example, so that same Augustinian I mentioned earlier, he got ordained a priest back in May and of last year, and he is from Pakistan. And no one in his family was able to attend the ordination from Pakistan, but every family that had hosted him on his pilgrimage, all the pilgrims who'd been with him, and even the families who hadn't hosted him but had just encountered him were at that ordination mass. And so to see how that played out is really phenomenal in our work and what we're trying to do.
Now, I think a lot of people, though, will hear you talk about this, and we think of pilgrimage for sure, and people in this country think of the Camino or Rome, or I know I've been to the Holy Land as well on pilgrimage. But the majority of the work you do is focused on the United States. Can you share some of that, and maybe some of the things you're doing in the U.S. and some places that you guys are working that folks on this call, because there are a lot of folks in a lot of places that are on this call.
Thank you.
Even there's one of these close.
Yeah, and so we've made it our mission from the outset to focus on making pilgrimage in the Catholic tradition accessible to people here in the United States. And for me, that was a definite need because, you know, most of us can't take a month to go walk the Camino right now, or obviously right now, but just in general, don't have the opportunity to do that right there, or to go to the Holy Land. And there's so much richness in the faith and just what you can experience within the United States. And we are trying to access that. Our definition of pilgrimage comes from a German Catholic theologian of the 20th century, Iso Baumer, who says that it's a pilgrimage is when an individual, or more typically a group, goes to a chosen site to bring to God and the saints at that site prayers and intentions before returning home to the everyday life. And we would add return home changed. But it's you choose it. Like, you can choose to go to your local parish and make that a pilgrimage, as long as you have that, as you guys call it, disposition. We talk about the pilgrim mindset. But a lot of our work for, like, the multi-day pilgrimages that we've put in place has been between mission churches here in California. The Abbey of Gethsemane, where Thomas Merton had been a monk, is one of our focal points, and so we've done multiple multi-day pilgrimages from Louisville there. And then we've expanded to do a number of one-day pilgrimages. And so the Friday of Sorrows is the Friday before Palm Sunday and Lent. And we have made that a major Lenten kind of pilgrimage experience, where this last year we had to do it sort of as a virtual pilgrimage, but we had pilgrims in five different cities each do Facebook Live in their different city for a pilgrimage that they did. And we're hoping to continue to make the Friday of Sorrows a major Lenten pilgrimage experience where anyone could do it in different cities across the nation. Likewise in Advent, different stuff across the nation, just where you can do it in your own area and we can provide resources. This May, I was looking around here in San Diego. We were on the lockdown and everyone was out walking. Everyone was out walking, and it's real nice here, you know, most of the year, as a lot of people know. And I was saying to myself, shoot, people clearly are getting out and walking. Let's give them a good reason, a good purpose to do it. And we just threw it together with 2 weeks to go before May 1st, but we called it 300 Pilgrimages for Mary. And we just encouraged people through social media, spread, you know, word of mouth, and through the Notre Dame resources that Jason mentioned, to go on pilgrimage wherever they were, just on their own, you know, social distancing and everything, but to go on pilgrimage for Mary in her month of May. And we just said, first time we'd ever done it, I said to my team, we've got a volunteer staff, I said, do you think we could do 300 of these? They said, it seems like a lot. Well, I already put it in the email I sent out. So that's what we set. And we ended up with we had 349 pilgrimages in over 80 cities, 34 states, 6 countries, and people just making pilgrimage in their own backyard. So there's a lot of different ways in which you can get involved, where we do kind of these multi-day pilgrimages that we'll put together in different places, some one-day pilgrimages in different cities. But then also we're more than happy just to provide our resources and encourage people to go on pilgrimage wherever they are. And it could be to your local parish, and think about what you could learn about your parish, about your parish's patron saint. There's just a lot of benefit to your community, to yourself, to take something like this on. here in the United States without having to go to the Holy Land or Rome or the Camino de Santiago?
Will, your zeal is, it's contagious, man. And I love to hear, hey, I bit off 300. We had no idea whether we could do it. And then boom, like the blessing of seeing people all over the world jumping on with you. I mean, 'cause I think people have a desire to move, and I think to be challenged and inspired to move, and it sounds like that's kind of what you're doing. It did occur to me when you talk about Gethsemane, that pilgrimage passes through Bardstown, which is 95% of the world's bourbon is made there, and the Bourbon Trail. So that pilgrimage passes along a pretty popular part of Kentucky, I would imagine, for folks that walk it. Can you tell me, that there's people listening now that are hearing this, they're like 50 miles, man, there's no way. And maybe they'd want to share it with a young adult in their life. How do we do it when folks naturally are a little intimidated by just what you just said, even the 300, like the stepping out, it's impossible. How do you take away some of that fear when you get into these conversations with folks?
A great question. That's where we encourage people to think about it a little more creatively. We had some of our elderly people who took part in the 300 pilgrimages for Mary just walked into their backyard. And we said, as long as you have that pilgrim mindset, and we go back to that definition by Isa Bomber, you've chosen to go here to bring God and the saints, your prayers and intentions, like those prayers are heard without a doubt. I mean, it goes right to the top, and you are going to return home changed. And we work in a model we call the Emmaus model. And this is where, again, I think the Holy Spirit's totally at work, but my favorite gospel passage, even before any of this started, was the Road to Emmaus passage in Luke with the two disciples encountering Christ as they're leaving Jerusalem after his crucifixion. And there's just so much in that, and there's so much that drew me to it initially, and now I have a way deeper understanding as we've moved into modern Catholic pilgrim. But I would encourage a man to consider those disciples and kind of their struggles after they've been in Jerusalem, they have seen Christ crucified, and they believe that he is dead and gone, and they encounter him on the road and do not realize it. And so there's this great image of them walking with Christ without realizing it. And on pilgrimage, I hope our pilgrims are a little more aware, but I think there's still, as we look in life or even on those pilgrimages, there's time where you're walking and you don't even realize you're walking with Christ. And they get to Emmaus, and it's been good to learn. Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they get to Emmaus, and this is, again, where that hospitality comes into play. And the pilgrims here actually are the ones who offer that hospitality to Christ and that openness. And it's in that openness that they receive him in this beautiful way, him through breaking bread, and they encounter him so viscerally there in Emmaus, and he is gone. And then they say, that beautiful line, "We're not our hearts set on fire," when he was opening scripture to us on the road. And what they do is they run back to Jerusalem that same day. So you can think they probably walked in the morning before the heat really settled in. They walked the 7 miles. That same day they run 7 miles back to Jerusalem to spread the good news. And so I'd encourage a man to consider going on that journey, because think about what we could do to change kind of our society, to change within our own church, to change ourselves, if we were willing to open ourselves to make that journey to encounter Christ in a real way at a chosen site, bring prayers and intentions to Christ, to any saints we feel, affinity for. Or for example, we've got the Nativity of St. John the Baptist today, a great pilgrim saint, a guy who went out and, make straight the path of the Lord, and to encounter him and then run back home. And that's where we like to talk about going back home changed after a pilgrimage. Run back home, be set on fire, change yourself, change your immediate family, your local community, your work, and we see that change then obviously seep out into the wider world and the good that comes of that. So I would encourage people just to consider that it's not a lot. It's one of the easier forms of prayer. You just walk. And the great thing is the Lord kind of takes care of everything else. And then you see a lot of fruits from it just by that. I like to tell our pilgrims, I say, you are physically demonstrating a belief in Christ's life, death, and resurrection by doing this pilgrimage. You would not be doing what you're doing if you did not believe that. And that physical demonstration, it means a lot to you personally, And then it's a great evangelization, great witness to others when people see that you're doing this or, you know, hear about it. So it would be a great witness for men to take on.
Now, you and I spoke about it recently, and I was telling you that there's just something about walking that just, man, it just comes up in me. I mean, it's the way, it's the natural way that I pray. Will, I know there are people that are going to hear this and be inspired to either bring a pilgrimage to their parish or to get involved in some of the work you're doing. Can you give us a little overview of perhaps how people can track you down and some things you have coming up?
Sure. So we have a website, moderncatholicpilgrim.com, and we're continuing to keep that updated and expand that. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Modern Catholic Pilgrim. And so those are the easy ways to reach us online, and we have a newsletter we'll send out to keep people updated. But, yeah, so if you reach out to us, we're continuing to develop resources where we're currently working with a couple different parishes on pilgrimages that they can do within their own communities. We're working with a couple different Catholic high schools on pilgrimages they can do with their students as a faith formation aspect this next school year. And then we have our pilgrimages that we put together in different places, like I mentioned with the missions in California, you know, out in Kentucky. And then I'd encourage people to pray on and consider maybe leading a pilgrimage in their local community for Advent. We're going to do stuff for that. This October, we're hoping to do pilgrimages for the saints, where people would make pilgrimage for a favorite saint or to, you know, just a local parish and learn more about that saint. And also, you know, like I mentioned, the Friday of Sorrows. I think it would be so profound if we could have 50, 100 different cities in America on the Friday of Sorrows, the Friday before Palm Sunday, as the start of Holy Week, people making pilgrimage, you know, a Lenten pilgrimage in those cities, coming together as groups and then sharing a meal afterwards. So there's a bunch of different levels in which you can get involved. And if you just want to make your own pilgrimage, we're happy to send you the resources we have. But it can all be found moderncatholicpilgrim.com and that social media stuff. And so I appreciate you giving me the chance to plug it a little bit there.
No, and I will tell you, Will, and I should have said this early on, as a guy who taught in a Catholic school, I'm proud and excited to hear guys like you out there teaching and helping form our young people in their faith every day. We've asked everyone that comes on the podcast at this point to just lead us in a prayer. And I know it's 4 o'clock in the morning out there, so we're hoping the coffee's going and we've stirred up enough in you to pray. But I'd love it, Will, if you would just pray us out, and then as soon as you're done praying and make the sign of the cross, Jason will jump back in and kind of tie up things. But would it be all right if you just pray us out today?
I would love that. Thank you very much, Joe. So, good Lord, thank you for this opportunity to bring us together today to just further your work. And we pray especially for the intercession of your servant of God, Father Emil Capon, who was someone who demonstrated hospitality in a real biblical sense and a great love of you, and truly knew what it meant to come to Christ, and we pray for his blessing upon us and for all the men and women involved with Capon's Men and the wonderful work it does. And just bless our pilgrims, bless those who host pilgrims, and all those who are striving toward a pilgrim mindset. And we also ask for the blessing of St. John the Baptist in this work. Through Christ our Lord, amen. From the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, thank you. Once again, as Joe said too, your enthusiasm and energy is contagious. And Capon's Men, we have everybody from their late teen years, you know, post-high school, all the way through some of our older members here. And I, for one, would say that your youth and your energy gives us great faith in the church. Your work does. Those of us who have been on the Father Capon pilgrimage each year, we see it in the youth that accompany us there. There's just a lot of energy, and thanks for your fantastic work here. You know, I think that the quote you started us off with Merton, he's a huge influence in my life as well, and this quote, man instinctively regards himself as a wanderer and wayfarer, and it's second nature for him to go on pilgrimage in search of a privileged and holy place, a center and source of indefectible life. kind of prayed into those words as you were talking and throughout the talk here, and this idea of being a wanderer and wayfarer, and it's our second nature to go on pilgrimage in search of. And what I'd ask us all at Cape and Men, we usually give a weekly challenge in our faith formation groups, and maybe this is a good one, to really meditate upon that, being a wanderer and wayfarer in search of what am I seeking. Maybe that's our challenge this week. What is it that I seek, and who do I follow on this pilgrimage of life? And I think doing a little bit of praying about that and analysis into how am I spending my time and who am I following, I think is going to be a pretty good takeaway. And then again, Henry Nouwen, the three movements of the spiritual life, probably a second challenge this week is how can I be more hospitable? The people in my orbit, in my faith community, et cetera, there's opportunities every day for us to be hospitable. And I think most of us men that are on this call, we're not going to have to look too far outside of our families on how to be really exercise that radical hospitality. And sometimes that's just, taking on some extra chores and living out through our action. There's hundreds of opportunities every week for us to get a little better at that. So I'm inspired again. Thanks for joining us. Men, we've got quite a few fantastic guests coming up. Will, you really set the table again, raising the bar for us and all our guests. Next week, we've got PJ Anderson. PJ joined us on our retreat, I think, back in 2015. Author, singer, musician, songwriter, fantastic witness in our faith. PJ is going to be great for those of you who haven't heard him. Billy Harting, former Broadway star, will be coming up the week after PJ. That'll be on the 8th. And then Matt Franklin, and then Father Stephen Brazel. We've got quite a few good guests coming up here over the next month, so please continue to join us on the Foxhole, and don't forget to go out there and share this message. Will's was a great one. We'll close this with prayer. I'd ask that all of you have a blessed and wonderful and safe week and adopt that pilgrim mindset that Will talks about. We could say pilgrim's disposition and take that along with you. Thanks again for joining us from the Foxhole, and God bless you, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.